I'm Presley.
And I'm Connor.
And this is the Server Life Podcast, where we candidly talk about the glamorous lifestyle of the service industry.
We share some of our own stories, along with some of yours, so we can all laugh and realize that we are not alone in this.
So feel free to subscribe, stick around, and join the conversation.
We love reading your comments, especially when it's praise. For me.
All right. Hey, guys, it's your hosts, Presley and Connor, and I'm preaching to the choir because we all know that the service industry is a fucking shitstorm right now. So we invited Kevin Danilo, owner of Batch Hospitality Group, to shed some light on the current state of the industry from the perspective of a business owner. Kevin, thank you so much for chatting with us. How are you doing today?
I just want to stop Good. You real quick because we went over how to say his last name and you still messed it up.
I said Danilo, right?
Danilo. We just said that.
Connor. God damn it, Presley. Can you get anything right? God.
Kevin Danilo. Kevin Danilo, thank you for joining us. You are the owner of Batch Hospitality Group. How's it going?
Good. You know, I appreciate you guys having me on. I've always been a huge fan of Server Life, and I'm excited to be here and chat with you guys.
Thanks. We're happy to have you. So, Lots to talk about right now. The world is a crazy place, as we know. And I guess before we dive into all of that and how things are working for you guys currently, why don't you give us a little history of the Batch Hospitality Group, how it all started? Yeah, fill us in.
Sure. So I came up I was 13 years old. I was a dishwasher. I was a busboy. I was a barback. I was a bartender. I kind of went through every job title of the restaurant industry. So I'm a huge fan of Server Life. I commiserate with the things that you guys post, and that's why I'm such a big fan of it. So we opened up about 7 years ago. We're at year six and a half right now in Miami. We opened up in Delray Beach about 3 years ago, and then we opened in West Palm Beach about 2 years ago. So we just really wanted to open up, our first location was in Miami. That's our flagship. And we really wanted to just open up a casual dining, fun place where you could go out, go on a date, watch some sports, grab a cocktail, kind of a one-stop shop for good food, good eats, scratch kitchen, craft cocktails, local beer, that type of thing. So it's been going great. We got a great team of people. And it's up until recently, everything was moving along great. And, we had been looking to further expand our footprint in South Florida. And the brakes are put a little bit on that. But, we're optimistic at some point we'll be able to come out of this and hopefully as an industry move forward.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the industry, well, the world is changing every single day, but the industry too. 1 minute you're closed and then we're open at limited, which is 25%. Some people are limited at 50%. And then it's outdoor only, no alcohol at midnight. We're all feeling this whiplash. What has your experience been with this whole coronavirus shutdown? I know. It's a loaded question. It really is.
Yeah, that's a good question. Where do you start with that? I mean, so the reality of it is, I in broad spectrum, I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen. Everybody's experience is similar in the sense that it sucked for everybody. It sucked for owners. It sucked for employees. It sucked for our guests. But everybody's handled it differently. I don't think there was any right way to handle it. Some people stayed open for takeout and delivery. Some people closed. We've charted our course that, looking back on it, we've shot about 90%. We think we did a pretty damn good job with it. But again, every day, like you said, it's things that are changing, and it's tough to keep up, between curfews and capacities and rules and regulations. So you have to turn on a dime. I mean, adaptability is without a doubt number one right now. And it's hard. It's hard to wake up every day and not know what battle you're going to fight. And it's also hard to have to manage your people and to provide the bad news for them when you tell them shifts are going to get cut further because your hours changed, or we can seat less tables, so there's less servers in a section now. So it's every day is a new battle, and it's, all you can do is keep your head up and try to keep your people surviving, and you live to fight another day.
Wow. So obviously Connor and I are both servers, we're definitely not on your level, so our experience of this is totally different. How have your employees responded to this? Because me as an employee, I'm in a position where at the beginning of this, I was so freaked out of everything that by the time I got asked to come back to work, I really didn't feel comfortable because there was just so much unknown. And same with a lot of my employees. But then I'm talking to people that don't think that it's too serious and they're kind of jumping out of their seats to get back to work. Generally, what has your observation been with your employees? Are they about it? Are they, you know, nervous? Are they comfortable with the current regulations that you guys are kind of trying to adapt
to? Sure. So, you know, it's really across the board. You know, you have your people that are nervous and are scared and didn't want to or didn't come back to work because they really don't want to get it. And I'm compassionate towards that. I understand. I mean, health is number one. If that's what you feel and you think, you have every right to feel and think that way. Then there's the other people on the spectrum that don't care. They think it's, you know, not a big deal, or, you know, they think it doesn't exist and it's a hoax, you know. So we see everything, right? And as a business owner, you know, your goal is navigate the waters to make sure everybody's comfortable and happy and err on the side of servancy and make sure that you're careful and you're operating properly. And, you know, at the end of the day, our industry is run by servers, bartenders, you know, bussers and hosts and line cooks. And, you know, I'm not the one that's touching a table on a daily basis. I'm not the one that's serving a guest. So if our people aren't happy, if our people aren't taken care of, you got a real fucking problem. So mm-hmm. we've done everything we possibly can to make our staff comfortable and want to come to work. And, you know, when they aren't comfortable, or, you know, the situations that we've run into, we handle them. And, you know, we're very pro employee because, like I said, I came up through this business and I've worked for some great people and I worked for some not so great people. So our philosophy has always been take care of our staff and, you know, the rest of the chips should fall in place.
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel that a lot of my other friends that are in the industry, because Connor and I are both servers in California, but a lot of my friends that work at other restaurants had managers that were super compassionate, kind of like you're expressing, that they, you know, you've been a server, you understand kind of what you can imagine and understand what we're going through right now. And I've seen some managers really step up during this pandemic and went as far as providing care packages once a week and, you know, calling to check in every couple of weeks, like, hey, do you need anything? These are any updates. But then I've also had a couple of friends say, nope, my management furloughed me and they didn't even call to see how I'm doing. So it always makes me happy to hear, you know, when managers actually care about their employees and owners actually care, and, you know, you care enough to come on this podcast and talk about this all with us. And, part of stepping up in a time like this and showing that you have your servers' backs, I feel like makes them want to be loyal and come back for when you do have that comeback and things really do start, quote unquote, going back to normal, you know?
Yeah. You know, my philosophy has always been, I've worked at, again, like I said, I've worked for some great people and for some not so great people. I've worked at some great places, not so great places. At the end of the day, your employees probably will always be able to find a place to go make more money, right? Unless you are the best place in the city where they make the most money, there's always somewhere that they might be able to jump to make a couple extra bucks. So what's going to keep an employee around? And for me, that's always been culture and the way to treat them. You want them to feel like family. You want them to own the business with you. You want them to enjoy coming to work so it doesn't feel like it's a job. And that it's, you know, money's important. We all know that as a server or bartender, but at the end of the day, what's going to keep them keep coming to work and be happy about it and want to take care of your guests is the way you treat them. So, you know, I've always adopted that philosophy from the great people that I worked for of, you know, they cared more about me than they cared about themselves. And they always treated me even as a subordinate, as an equal. And those are the things that I appreciated. And that's what we try to emulate within our company.
I think that it's wise of you to know that, because I think that one of the things Presley and I have talked about quite a bit since we've been out of work is how much we miss the people and the culture of where we were working. So I think that is a huge factor in the decision making of servers like us, because you're right, if the people and the culture just aren't where you want to be, then that's why you leave. You know what I mean? Because you can serving is serving in pretty much most places. So what keeps you, you know, loyal to one spot is exactly what you were saying. It's the culture.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I could take credit for that, but you know, that's stuff that I learned over the years, and by no means have I always made every right decision, but generally, if you follow that principle, it does you well. Take care of your people and they take care of you.
So yeah, you were, just carry on. You were saying that in the beginning, you did not stay open. You decided to close.
Yeah, I'll kind of loop back. So, you know, dealing with all these new procedures and regulations, for the most part, a lot of them have stayed the same. We see some new stuff pop up here and there, but at the end of the day, it's not earth-shattering changes. It's mostly capacity related, right? So you're adding tables, you're subtracting tables, you can seat inside, you can't seat inside, you have to close it this time. But the bulk of the processes, that, you know, wearing masks and, you know, how you sanitize tables, that stuff we all knew before we reopened. So we were able to get our staff in. We did a really intensive training. You know, our culinary director is somebody who came up through the corporate world and is fantastic. And, you know, he kind of took this one on his shoulders to make sure that he put together the steps in the plan. And we have a director of training who is also fantastic and put together a training classroom that we had, you know, our busboys literally sample sanitizing tables and sample busing tables and how to properly pour water for people. All the little things that, you know, almost like how you have to learn how to walk again after something, you know, you're in a bad car accident.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the process. You have to relearn everything. You know, we've been always trained in our careers that when there's a dirty dish on a table, you remove it, right? You know, that's normal. You don't want to leave a table unbussed.
Right.
But now it's a different world because guests at tables, when they're very apprehensive about going out and they fall into that segment of the market that they're very nervous about this thing and they're very cautious, they don't want you coming to their table, right? They want the limited, least number of interactions possible. So they would rather have all their plates stacked up in the corner of the table than you going to bus it. So it's interesting, but at the end of the day, you know, we're in the hospitality business and, you know, whether there was COVID or not, we thrive and survive on adaptability. We all have ADD. We all can't complete tasks linearly. We do a million things at once. And that, you know, to this day, I haven't served a table or bartended in 6-7 years. And I can't watch TV. I need to have my TV on, my laptop while I'm cooking and with my dog. You need to do multiple things. So the good thing about our industry is we're adaptable. And, you know, it's been tough to balance everything, but that's what we do. And for the most part, I'm very proud of our industry and our competitors. I go see them, and most people are taking this seriously. Most of the people in our industry are doing a great job, and they're doing the best they can for guests and for their staff and to do this right. And that's not everybody, but for the most part, I think the hospitality industry has done a damn good job amidst some pretty difficult circumstances.
For sure. Yeah. That's all you can do, right? Is do your best to figure it out. And I think the industry has done surprisingly well with adapting, as you said.
I mean, I don't know. I'll step in and say that here in California, I've seen so many articles of them doing studies saying that what did you see that, Connor? It said 85% of restaurants in California aren't following protocol because a lot of restaurants haven't gone into in-depth retraining like you're talking about. Like, Kevin, I think that you're doing it right and you have a full understanding of hospitality and kind of the promise that you're upholding to make sure that you're doing good business. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of restaurants out there that are just kind of operating like chickens with their heads cut off, just trying to stay afloat business-wise. So on the business side of things, you know, closing down fully, that must have, you know, really affected you guys business-wise.
I just want to go back to one of the points that you picked out, just because I've seen some statistics like that. I've seen, you know, that 85% number. I think Texas was one of the first places that they did this audit, right? And they kind of looked down there and said, this huge majority of people are not following protocol. And I kind of got to defend the industry that I love a little bit on this because we try very hard and we do a damn good job. But I got a feeling that if you came in, you would see a procedure that is not perfect, right? And that's just human error. You know, for example, if a guest gets up from a table and walks to the bathroom without a mask on in Miami, we are out of compliance. right? So that's not because my staff did anything wrong, and we could have told the table, hey guys, you need to make sure you wear a mask. We walk away and they go walk to the bathroom. So I think that 85% number is a little bit inflated. You know, I'm not saying that every business is perfect, because, you know, we have restaurants that have been operating like nightclubs in certain areas and have kind of caused problems in the area. And now we're all being punished for it. So not everybody's perfect, but I think for the most part, places are taking this seriously. And the reason I think that's so important is there aren't enough government agencies to go ahead and police every restaurant, every bar, every nightclub, every hospitality venue, every retail venue. So we kind of have to police ourselves. And the good thing is, it seems like the places that are taking it seriously, the places that are upholding these standards and are listening to the health professionals and are really doing a good job, they're getting rewarded. You know, we're seeing repeat business because we take it seriously. We see people coming in who say, I don't go to other restaurants, but we come to yours because you care. And we can tell that you take this seriously. And that's the way it should be, right? You know, the market dictates volume in the demand. We have a demand in our restaurants because we're doing things right. And you know, other places, you know, they might have guests come in and they might feel like other people aren't taking it seriously. And, you know, that restaurant isn't taking their health seriously and they probably won't go back. So, you know, to your point of people are just trying to rush, make a quick buck. Yeah. You know, somebody might see that as the right approach. And I'm sure there's people out there that have seen that, but for the most part, I think most places understand the long game here. We're still in it. You know, we possibly might not even have seen the bottom of this yet. And if we haven't, we got a long way to go. So, you know, that short-sightedness isn't going to do anyone any favors, their business any favors. And I think most places understand that.
That's interesting. Yeah. How do you think the government has handled things from the perspective of a business owner? Do you think that they have offered you, you know, enough understanding, enough monetary, whatever, to make it through this? Or do you think that independently owned restaurants are going to be in trouble?
You're really handing me a loaded gun here, huh?
just so curious.
Yeah, right. So at the end of the day, you know, my comment on this, a lot of people ask me these questions, and the reality is, one, I will say, being a government official, that's not a job I would ever want. You know, that is tough. You were scrutinized, whatever your views are on political parties and affiliations, that job, it's a thankless job. You know, very rarely does anybody say, this person did an amazing job. It's heavy as the head that wears the crown. These guys and women have impossible jobs, and all of us criticize them playing Monday morning quarterback and sniping them from the cheap seats with information that we get 3 weeks later, right? So it's really easy to look back and say, shoulda, woulda, coulda. So in my opinion, I've always really tried to look at this and say to myself, are these guys doing the best they can? Are these guys and women, are they doing the best they can with the information they have? And my thought on how the government responded to this, I think across the board, we did a pretty damn good job. And that doesn't mean that our industry is safe and there wasn't more that could have been done, but I really do appreciate the bills that were put out in the CARES Act. And, you know, was it perfect? No, but I don't think anybody can expect things to ever be perfect, and it probably won't be perfect from here on out, but I'm appreciative of what they've done for small business. So I am thankful. You know, I'm thankful for the PPP program that came through. I think restaurant and hospitality has been hit significantly harder than other industries. A bipartisan bill is in the works right now. It's proposed at $120 billion to provide additional grants because they know our industry got hit a lot harder than other industries that had the same access to PPP. So, you know, I am very thankful for what was done. And I think they probably made the right choices with the information they had. And I'm not going to criticize those people. That's nice to hear.
I'm glad you don't feel like you were hung out to dry.
That's good. And I'm not going to say by any means that restaurants are in an okay position, because every morning I wake up, or if you consider it waking up from no sleep, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my restaurants, my staff, my friends' restaurants, the industry in general. It's tough. you know, the reports coming out about independents and even the chains that are going to be closing off their less profitable units. It is a scary number, what you think about what will permanently close. And with PPP kind of coming to a conclusion where most, if not all of us, have fully spent our dollars, this is probably the apocalypse for restaurants coming in the next 30 to 60 days. So, you know, you have bars and nightclubs that haven't even opened. So if their landlords aren't working with them, that, you know, they're fucked. So, you know, this, it's tough, but, you know, hopefully, you know, the government comes and steps up and they kick some more dollars into these really hurt industries. The PPP program wasn't fully utilized. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was right around $120 billion that was returned to the program, right? And so this restaurant bill is ironically very, very similar to that amount. So if they're able to repurpose those dollars and deploy it to retail, hospitality, you know, all the industries that are really hurting right now, you know, maybe they buy us some more time that while we try to figure this thing out and get that vaccine or herd immunity or whatever it is that we're working towards, you know, we all live to fight another day.
I like that.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of assistance. Go for it, Con.
Nothing. It's all you. I just said, that's nice to hear. And I hope that that comes together. I hope that people can work across the aisle and make that happen for the industries that are really, really affected by this.
Yeah. And unfortunately for as a server, our financial assistance is unemployment, and unemployment, EDD, is a shitstorm right now. And I'm not alone in this. I have not received my unemployment money. It's been 3 months now and I haven't received any financial assistance. And unfortunately, I have a lot of friends that live in Vegas. And when Vegas went down into full lockdown, Vegas is all hospitality. Everybody who lives in Vegas pretty much works in hospitality. So once everything shut down, the whole city filed for unemployment at the exact same time. So I have friends that are in my same boat and haven't received a dime either. So, I mean, it's amazing that businesses are getting that assistance, but a lot of servers are in the same boat where, you know, I wouldn't be eating if I didn't have assistance from my dad and some family members.
Yeah, and what you're saying is valid. You guys are out in California, right?
Yeah, but I'm fortunate because the first time I filed shortly after our restaurant closed, I was approved. So I've been receiving unemployment this whole time, and I feel a little bit of like survivor's guilt because I have it coming in, and then some of my friends like Presley and others in the industry are still, you know, dealing with red tape and refiling and paperwork and playing the waiting game. So it's kind of a mess, but hopefully it all comes through for you eventually.
Yeah. But my thoughts on that are Florida was one of the worst states as well. You know, people are still waiting now, and not to change the topic, but we were ahead of this. We assumed that this was going to happen. So we shut down as soon as we knew that these orders were coming. We shut down immediately and told our employees, get your ass on that unemployment site and file today. And our proactive employees who listened to us and did it were able to, like you, get approved. And the people that took some time and didn't take it seriously are the people that unfortunately got caught in that storm. And it wasn't a perfect correlation, but that kind of was our approach and why we shut down, because we knew that if we did takeout and delivery only, that, you know, it was only a matter of time before we cut everybody's shifts so significantly that they had to go on unemployment, and we didn't want them getting in a line behind millions and millions of people. But my original point was, you know, you guys are out in California where it's as blue as it gets. I have friends that own restaurants in the Midwest, and, you know, the very, very red areas in Florida is, well, we pinball back and forth and we never have our shit together, but that's a totally different topic. But my point is these unemployment systems, you know, going back to that government issue, it's not about what side of the aisle somebody stands on or who's running what state or county or city. It's tough. I mean, nobody would have seen this. I if you held a gun to my head and said, tell me the 10 things that you fear the most in happening this year, you know, this, I never would have even fathomed this, right? So the idea of this many people hitting mass unemployment, the systems weren't designed for it. They weren't.
And so we're there for our staff, and, you know, we try to support them every way we can. You know, we gave away all of our food when we shut down to them. And, you know, over the course of the lockdown, we tried to provide them the resources to go get grants or to pick up food or wherever it was, but it's tough. It is absolutely, it was super tough out there, and it's hard for the people that aren't getting the assistance. I think they're, at least in Florida, they're just about caught up on everybody getting it that should have got it or got improperly denied, and all the past benefits are coming through, but it was absolutely tough. And it's, you know, who would have guessed all these people going on unemployment in the systems that it took? They couldn't handle that kind of volume. It just, nobody saw this, and it's eye-opening, and it'll be interesting to see what happens from here on out. If there's like almost a reserve government force of people that can get called in when things like this happen, that can help assist these programs. But we didn't have that. We didn't have an extra couple thousand employees around in Florida to dig through these applications and get them approved, right? And if we did, everybody would be complaining about the government budget that we have and our taxes going up. So there's so many different sides to this thing, right? It's so hard. And that's why I always stand in that camp that we talked about earlier of, it's really easy to play Monday morning quarterback. You know, everything sucks right now. Everything's hard, but you know, I'm not going to criticize somebody else or this side or that side. It's tough. You know, what I criticize is when somebody doesn't care. I criticize when somebody makes the decision and they don't think it through, or they don't care about the people that it's impacting. But you know, all we can ask for right now is everybody, you know, tries their best and they do what's in the best interest of the constituents and the people. And, you know, for the people that are hurting out there, that the programs come about and they really try to get them through to that, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel.
Wow. Yeah. So as of right now, so as we record this, we're in July. Everything changes every single day. But in Florida, so you have three locations. Can you remind us of where those locations are? I know it's Miami, West Palm, and
Delray Beach.
So with this new no alcohol after midnight, is that drastically affecting you guys just because Miami night scene? How is this the newest shift for us? How do you think that is going to affect you for the next 3 weeks or however long it's in effect?
Sure. So just a quick rundown about Florida. Florida was one of the states that opened up earlier than most. Governor DeSantis down here started the phase one process pretty early on, and things were going all right. And, you know, now we're seeing a huge influx of cases. Throughout that progression, the three counties that are most populated in Florida are Miami-Dade County, Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale, and then Palm Beach County, which is West Palm Beach, Delray Beach. All three of those counties basically were held back a little longer than the rest of Florida. We had the most cases. We had the highest infection rates, a little more populated. So I wanted you to have that background because some of this won't make sense. So the most recent ban that really kind of caught everybody's attention was bars can no longer sell alcohol. And everybody kind of was like, oh my God, there's no more alcohol. Well, where we are in Florida, bars were never allowed to reopen in the first place. We actually hadn't progressed to phase two in any of our three counties, right? So Miami-Dade, Broward County, and Palm Beach County, all were still in phase one. So none of our bars were open in the first place. So when that order came out, that actually didn't impact us. But regarding the new regulations that are coming out, there are some major ones that have come around because now they don't want to fully shut restaurants back down, but they're scaling back. And it's pretty scary what's happening, and we've seen some major impacts from it. So in Miami-Dade County, we actually, from day one, we had to have guests wear masks when entering the building. So our staff had to wear masks, but guests also had to wear masks coming into the building or going to the bathrooms or, you know, traversing the restaurant. In Broward County and in Palm Beach County, that wasn't a thing. So you didn't have to wear it in public. You didn't have to wear it into a restaurant. Our staff had to wear them, but our guests did not. So recently, in the last week, two big orders have come down that have scaled back. So Broward County and Palm Beach County just matched Miami-Dade, where now our guests have to wear masks in the restaurants. So that was a huge one for us. We saw a huge decline because masks are required in public now. You walk your dog, you got to wear a mask. You go, you know, you walk down the street, you got to wear a mask. So that has absolutely slowed down traffic tremendously. And then in Miami-Dade, they actually shut down restaurant alcohol sales after midnight. And then a day later, they changed it that we need to close fully after midnight. And for us, that's a big one because our approach coming into this was we're in downtown Miami. We're surrounded by office buildings and nobody is working in an office right now. It is everybody working remotely. So happy hour is a ghost town. Lunch is a ghost town. So our strategy was there's no bars, there's no nightclubs. You're still going to have somebody wanting to go out and grab a cocktail late night. Why don't we stay open till 3 or 5 a.m.? And we'll allow people to come in and we'll follow all the safe guidelines and they can't sit at the bar. Every table has to be 6 feet apart. We have a maximum occupancy, but we can serve food and drinks to people that maybe want to go out at 1 in the morning and socialize, or in the biz people that still need to get a drink after work and unwind. So for us, that Miami order has just completely cut our legs out with what our strategy is. And it's frustrating because we're not operating like a nightclub. We're not packing people into the restaurant. We're being safe every step of the way, but we're open later because nobody else has a place to go. There's nobody else open those late hours. So shutting down after midnight now is chopping off 50% of our operating time and, you know, a huge chunk of our revenue. So that's a really big one for us. And ironically, while we've been on this phone call, my phone just beeped and our marketing team and our PR team sent a message that a new executive order just came out while we were on the phone. And it's that our guests now have to wear masks in a restaurant while not eating or drinking. So it's not. So after you take your bite of food, you got to put your mask back on, which to me is, you know, I haven't had time to process and think about this, but at that point, who's going to go out or, you know, how do we enforce that? One, right? Do we go up to how long do we give them leeway between sips? you know, to enforce it, right? Are we going to get fined if somebody comes in? So some of this stuff's getting pretty ridiculous. It seems like they're trying to get us to voluntarily shut our doors down.
That is what it sounds like. I mean, at that point, with all of these restrictions, along with, you know, everything happening in Florida, the biggest update here in California is restaurants are closed indoors. You can only be outdoors. And then it's like, okay, well, how many people are going to see that and go, okay, it must be dangerous. Do I even want to put myself at risk? How many people are actually going to be going out and dining? And then as a server, it's, do I feel comfortable going and doing that? And, you know, yeah, how do you regulate people wearing masks? Because if you're going out to dine, you're willing to take the risk. And then you'd have, somebody's going to have to be watching the tables. You're going to have a sanitizer on the floor and a sip duty, making everybody chug their drinks. I guess that's a good way to boost sales.
Right? Yeah. No, you're hitting the nail on the head. And it's, your points are correct. And, you know, to me, I'm not going to compare working in the hospitality industry to being on the front lines in a hospital, being a doctor or a nurse right now, the heroes of our time right now. But make no mistake, our servers, our bartenders, our busboys, they are risking their lives. You know, the people that are bagging our groceries are risking their lives. You know, they are absolutely heroes. And it's, you know, it's funny to say your bartender is a hero, but, you know, the reality of it is our staff is there risking their health and safety to serve others and provide a great experience. And that's something that, you know, I don't think people truly consider. And, you know, what is nice to see though, is our tip percentages are up for the most, we haven't gotten one bad Yelp review since we opened.
Congrats.
Our shopper reports are up across the board. And, you know, I think there is more patience and compassion, and that's not everybody. I mean, there are still difficult guests, but I think the scale has tipped where people are looking at the hospitality workers and there's an additional level of compassion, which is great to see. It's great to see people, you know, helping the people in our industry and showing them kindness and generosity and understanding during a difficult time. But yeah, you know, it's true. Your staff, it's not easy having to make a decision. Do I want to put food on the table or do I want to risk getting sick today? And that's not something anybody should ever have to deal with. And unfortunately, that's the world we're living in right now. It's not always fair, but you're hitting the nail on the head that is a bona fide decision that people are going to, they are making right now.
Yeah, no, it's just so crazy to think that because we started this podcast to laugh about all of the crazy stuff that happens in the industry that us as servers deal with on an everyday basis, just dealing with the general public. And now we're speaking to, an audience full of, not everybody's servers, but a lot of people have worked in the industry. They understand they are affected by this. Now we're just talking to a huge community of people that no one knows what to do. For a while, people were missing their jobs. Some people, we have half, I feel like, a general amount of people are totally understanding that this virus is real. And then there is this other side of people that don't take it seriously and just really have no idea what's going on, how to pivot around it. So in this whole reopening, it's getting everybody on the same page has been a challenge. Not only just as staff, but diners. So as we were, this new regulation just came out for you guys. You guys have to be wearing your masks while you're, in between bites. One of my coworkers who is back at work right now, they recently added plexiglasses between the counter where you go up to order and seat yourself. We're not actually doing table service at the restaurant that I did work at. It's, counter service, but there's this plexiglass to protect him from them. And people are like almost reaching around it, like going around it, not taking it seriously. And he's had to self-regulate and say, hey man, that's not cool. Take a step back. This isn't an obstacle course that you want to get around, like stay on the other side. So that's kind of concerning. If you do have the balls to say, okay, this is a dangerous thing, but I'm put in a situation where I have to show up to work. I have to feed myself. I'm going to not be eligible for unemployment if I don't return to work. And then you have guests coming in that really aren't taking it seriously and there really is no way to regulate it. Going forward with all these new reclosures, do we think that restaurants are going to remain open? I don't think that they will. I think like you're saying, they might be kind of forcing you to self shut down.
Yeah. It definitely has felt that way in the last couple of days. But again, these people making these decisions probably have more information than we have. They're making a decision that they feel is in the best interest of public health. And who am I to challenge that? At the end of the day, I look at it, what is in the best interest of the community, my staff, my people. At some point I'm a little selfish in my business and myself, but I kind of look at it as a whole and we're all in the same boat together. And I wouldn't want something happening. I wouldn't want them saying, yeah, restaurants, go ahead, open up 100% if it's going to disadvantage everybody else. And surprisingly, I think a lot of people have that mentality now. I think a lot of people, even in such a divisive time, a lot of people are caring about others, and it's not perfect, but we do have a lot of people that are out there trying to make it easier and better for other people. So, for me, who knows what these guys are going to decide at the government level, what's going to happen with stimulus and what's going to happen with closures, but you just prepare and you adapt and you fight and hopefully that they help enough and we fight hard enough and we survive it. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all we can truly do. I don't think anybody knows what comes tomorrow or 30 days or 60 days from now, but what I was always taught at a young age was try to leave as many outs for yourself as possible, make decisions that leave as many doors open as possible and, live to fight another day, live to make that decision tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, you do it all over again. And I think a lot of us in the industry are adapted to that, right? Because we've all had our bathrooms flood. We've all had our guest that gets in a fight or somebody that breaks a window or your fryer that goes down on a Friday night. We've never dealt with coronavirus, but we've dealt with some really difficult things. So we're gonna fight like hell, and we're gonna do it for the community, and we're gonna do it for our staff, and we're gonna do it for our business, and hopefully it all pans out, and time will tell.
Yeah, amen. I love that.
It's a good attitude to have. One day at a time. Just take it one day at a time.
Yeah, you're a busy man. I mean, I hear your phone buzzing us still. I mean, any last words? I think that everything that you just said is really inspiring because, I mean, as a server who just kind of feels jaded, you know, I'm having this podcast, I try and stay well read of, you know, everything kind of going on in the industry and the changes that are made and how servers are feeling, how guests are feeling. And to hear a leader like yourself look at it from, okay, I'm literally looking at everything as a whole and I'm going to, like you said, leave as many doors open as possible and do it as best for everyone. It's a breath of fresh air. And it gives me a lot of hope that, you know, there are a lot of restaurants out there that are embarking on this journey with a positive attitude and just going with this flow. It's changing every single day. Nobody knows what's around the corner. And oh boy.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's, you know, I think life is easier with a positive attitude, right? You know, it opens up doors for you and, you know, going into something with the optimism and the can-do attitude, it's, you know, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. You believe you can do it, you can do it. If you think you're going to fail, you're going to fail. So, you know, I would tell everybody, you know, believe that you're going to come out of this, believe one day we will get back to normal and things are going to be all right. And, you know, stay well-read, like you said, stay up to date on the things that are changing, whether you're a server, a busboy, an owner. You know, one of the things that I did is I read every single page of the CARES Act probably three times. And you know, wow, it helped. And then I talked to friends and helped them, you know, be able to strategize and plan the closing and the reopening and how to best utilize stimulus and things like that. Unemployment for hourlies, the CARES program, where basically there's an additional $600 federal dollars towards anybody that is eligible for unemployment, runs through July 31st. So that's a big amount of money. $600 a week, you know, it can put food on the table and help you pay your power bills and your phone bills and that the essentials that you need to live. You know, I would tell everybody to be very careful where you're spending. Don't go out and buy a bottle of booze. You know, don't keep your head straight and don't spend money that you don't need to spend. But you know, keep reading, keep up to date with what's going on. And, you know, hopefully that if things are still tough, the government gets their stuff together and they say, let's extend this past July because our citizens, our Americans, they need that. So, you know, stay on top of it. But, you know, generally speaking, I think the government is there for us, that they're helping us to get through this. And I'm putting my faith in them. I think they're going to make the right decisions. And that doesn't mean that everybody is going to be perfectly compensated from this thing, but I think they're going to do the best job to, you know, reach across the aisle and make sure our people are taken care of. I don't think, if, you know, we have a huge populace that's still in really dark, deep waters at the end of July, that they're just going to pull the rug out. So, you know, my thought is hang tight, you know, be optimistic, do what you have to do, play smart, and hopefully, you know, our elected officials do what's in our best interest and they help us out and they help our industries that are hurting, like the restaurant industries, and they help the people that aren't able to go back to work yet. But, you know, what I've seen so far is they have helped, and you know, the industries that are really hurt are getting additional grants and additional programs. They're not just shutting us down and saying tough shit. You know, it would have been easy to do that, but they're shutting you down and saying, but here's extra money for unemployment. They're shutting you down and they're saying, here's PPP dollars. They're shutting you down and say, here's another grant that you can apply for if your sales have dropped off X amount. So they're not making these decisions and leaving us out to dry and saying, well, if you close, you close. Tough shit. Somebody else, it's capitalism. Somebody else will open up. They're really, you know, pretty benevolent with what they're doing and they're careful. And I believe in that. You know, all we can do is hope that they continue to make those decisions for us. And, you know, I'm optimistic of it. And I would urge everyone else to share that, because it is easier to wake up every day and believe that it's going to get better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kevin, for joining us. I think this was really nice to get your take on things, because you're right there in the thick of it and you're an owner. You're at the top. So you get to make these decisions, and it's nice to hear from someone that factors in everything that their employees are going through, everything that's coming from the government. And yeah, this was really insightful. So thank you for joining us. To our listeners who are in Florida, if you are near Miami, Delray Beach, or West Palm, check out Batch Gastropub or any of those restaurants in the Batch group. They have locations in all three of those places, and you can follow them on Instagram at Batch Miami, Batch Delray, or Batch WPB. Any last thoughts here? Press, Kevin?
Yeah, just thank you guys. I really appreciate coming on here, and I'm sorry that you guys and women out in California and, you know, your jobs, that you're not able to go back yet and that you're all struggling. And to every server, bartender out there, I'm just compassionate towards what you guys need. And if anybody needs a warm meal and, you know, a shot of Irish whiskey, come on in. we'll take care of you guys. It's a tough time, and we all got to stick together. So, you know, our doors are open to help out the hospitality professionals in Florida and, you know, anybody that finds their way down here.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Well, servers, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. We want to thank you all so much for tuning in and listening week after week. This podcast has been a lot of fun for us to do and honestly a great experience. We are excited to announce that this is our final episode of our first season. We've been working nonstop through this whole pandemic and have decided to take a little break to focus some of our time on our personal lives and also begin to work on some great new content for you guys for the second season. I want to thank Connor, my amazing and always funny co-host, for being a part of this first season, Hernan, our audio and content editor, and our PR marketing director, and also the creator and brains behind Server Life, Caesar. And of course, we want to thank every single one of you for listening and engaging with us week in and week out. Because of everything going on and things beginning to open up and then closing and then opening again, and everybody fighting about whether we should be wearing masks or not, we thought that it would be a great way to end the season by sharing a catchy tune by Tom McGovern about wearing your mask. So make sure that you check him out on Instagram at TomMcGovern27. Thank you guys all again for listening. Make sure to follow up on Instagram at the Server Life Podcast and at server_life. Subscribe, leave us a review, and let us know what you look forward to in the second season. Till next time, we're going to miss you. Cheers.
Hey, everybody, got a favor to ask. Shut the fuck up and put on your mask. Shut the fuck up.
To throw God's wonderful breathing system out the door.
Shut the fuck up and put on your mask. If you say they're killing people, then you're dead, dead wrong. I really shouldn't even have to write this song. If you trust Trump, you can kiss my ass. And shut the fuck up and put on your mask.
Everybody!
Shut the fuck up and put on your mask.